because, well, here, we're going on about Nightlines. We haven't really explained what it was. It was a late-night CBC show that was totally cutting edge. I mean, David Wisdom would do two shows a week, and you're talking 7 hours each
They were
show.
6 or 7 hours long. They were long shows, for sure.
No commercials.
That's right.
So I now realize how much work he had to put in to do that.
So he carried it, basically.
Yeah. It was just fantastic because it was all about the music.
Yes.
That's all it was about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about a gigantic audience. It was about a hardcore audience of music lovers. And like I said, a lot of them, I think, were musicians.
Yes. You know. Yeah, and night owls and people and some taxi drivers and
exactly.
characters. And they just loved it, David Wisdom. And he was very respectful of them, too, and gave them a voice on his show.
It was like the first global village.
Yeah. Crowdsourcing, I think they call it now, you know, on social media, right? But you're right, the first global village. I mean, Canadians from coast to coast could show up on his show if they loved music, and especially, and this is what I really want to get into with you, Rob, especially eclectic, off-the-beaten-path kind of music.
A little bit different.
Yes, something with a bit of a spin.
There's actually a middle ground to tread there, I find. I mean, how many college radio shows have we listened to where, some guy comes in and plays the most obscure, weird stuff just to be different? Well, does it have an appeal to the audience? And the answer usually is no. There's like four people out there who like it and the rest of them don't.
Yes.
But then the other side of the coin, I guess, would be commercial radio, classic rock or Jurassic rock, as they call it sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be in the middle, like be different, but be, appeal to a reasonably wide audience.
Yes.
And my taste in music is extremely diverse. So, I mean, I can go from the Peggy Lee, Benny Goodman, right up to, California hardcore, early 80s. The big difference, though, between the show that inspired me and Sightlines, the show that we're going to do here, is my show is obviously an archive. It's all going to be old stuff. It's just my record collection that I'm going to share with the listeners.
Well, the first clue is that it comes from your 4,000-plus vinyl record collection. So if it's on vinyl, well, it's less and less true today, I guess, because vinyl's making a comeback. So we are getting current contemporary bands that are pressing to vinyl. But for the most part, it's pretty good guarantee that it's going to be archival material if it's on vinyl, right? It's going to be old stuff.
Yeah, I would say that, the main focus would be from the beginning of the Beatles era to the mid-90s.
Okay.
A few newer things than that and a few older things than that as well.
People can hear me rifling through this week's edition of the Review newspaper. I actually did a little write-up about you and about the fact that you are starting up Vankley FM's latest program, and you've mentioned the title, it's Sightlines. And I just wanted to, new disc show. It's on page 19 of the September 30th edition of the Review, just so people know. And I'm going to read some excerpts from it, Rob, just to embarrass you and put you on the spot here, because you're a modest guy, and now that I got you locked into the microphone there, you can't go running away or anything, so I'm just going to, just so that our listeners know who this newest, latest addition to the voices of Vankley FM is, so... here we are here. The new host, Rob Carr, also known as That Darn Robbo. And did that originate with your appearance on Nightlines?
No.
I mean,
it was
your
much
name?
Before that.
Before
I've
that,
been,
okay.
I've been known as That Darn Robbo since the late 70s.
Okay.
Very difficult to explain the origin of that, but that's just the way it is.
Okay, well, just take your word for it that for some reason people love to call you That Darn Robbo. I'm sure there's many, many stories behind that anyway, but we'll leave that rest for now. We may revive it sometime at a future date.
Tell more as time goes on.
It may come out. Okay. So you're a self-confessed tune addict. Is that fairly accurate?
I was totally accurate.
Okay, there we go. But not just any tune. Like, this is what you were just saying a minute ago. This is what made me think that I'd like to read a little excerpt from the article, because you have standards, you know? Like, it's not just that it's a radical sort of unheard or unlistened to piece of music. You want it to be listenable.
It's got
to
be good.
Good, entertaining, make your toe tap, or at least, get your head bobbing, or maybe even hitting the wall once. No, not you're not a head.
Yeah, the odd time.
Okay.
In the mosh pit.
Okay, there you go. I had a feeling. And you're the proud owner of, we underestimated the size of your library. We didn't get the correction in time, but I said 1,000 plus vinyl, but you're saying it's over 4,000.
Well, between my wife Lois and I, Lois has about 800 albums. When we first met, I was fairly impressed. I said, wow, here's a girl with vinyl. So, quite impressive to me.
Okay. We'll have to ask Lois what she thought of the fact that you had 3,000 plus records that you were bringing into the household. That must have been a consideration anyway.
It takes up some space.
Yes.
And that's not even gigantic. I mean, there's a fellow in Hudson that we knew, we still know him. We haven't seen him for a few years. He had over 15,000.
That's serious.
That starts causing structural damage.
That's right. That's right. Because vinyl records are not light. Yeah. Let me see here. So your tastes range from crime jazz, which is a really neat genre that we're going to have to explore a little bit more, to the Rheostatics, from Ry Cooder to Ned's Atomic Dustbin. I love that name of group.
Yeah, me too. I actually had to research that to find out where they got that name from.
Okay.
And it's from a Beyond the Fringe comedy sketch.
Oh, you're kidding?
Or a goon. It was either a Goon Show or Beyond the Fringe. I mean, they're British.
Yes.
So I've never seen that sketch. I always loved the name of the band.
Yeah, it's perfect. Ned's Atomic Dustbin. Yeah, and from the Von Zippers to Laurie Anderson. So really eclectic, really out there, fringe and closer to the center line, you know. So that's kind of a heads up to our listeners to let them know what kind of music you're going to be featuring on your shows. And you've been a busy little bee. You've got you said 5 shows in the can already.
Yeah, 5 are done. And number 6 is 80% done.
Okay.
So I guess we should let the listeners know I'm producing this in my home.
Yes.
In the basement. So I just lock myself in there, throw on the headphones, and my long-suffering wife stays upstairs. The longest thing or the hardest part of this is that I have to actually pull the records and record them.
I was going to say, that's the reason why you're doing it at home. It's because that's where your vinyl collection is, but you're actually transcribing these vinyl records into the digital format, right? To prove it. Because, I mean, 99% of our show content is digital in one form or another. So that's the medium these days. So having done transcription of vinyl to CDs or other forms, or digitize them basically myself, I know the work that's involved. And is it true, you can confirm this for me, that 90% of the effort is just in cleaning the record and making sure that it's as pristine as you can get it?
Well, most of my records are in pretty good shape, except, I mean, there's obviously a lot of garage sale finds.
Yes.
And, you know, the records are pretty clean. The odd time when there's clicks and pops, I use my software to remove the clicks and pops.
Okay. But I find just the dust that collects on vinyl records, because they're such dust magnets, they're very staticky, right?
And you're talking to a fanatic.
Okay.
I've had a really good cleaning system. Well, I guess my friends and I all bought the same little system in the mid-70s. So every time I've played a record, it's cleaned, and it's always put back in its jacket. And if the jacket's valuable, especially, it's into a plastic bag.
Yes.
So I keep everything pretty clean.
Okay.
So that's the bigger problem is actually just recording it and then cleaning up the beginning and the end.
Yes.
And making the file right, get your level right, and then render it. So that just takes a bit of time.
And then you got to chop it up into cuts, right?
Yeah. Well, I actually don't do full albums usually.
All right.
Sometimes I will, but especially for this show, all of a sudden I realize, okay, I need X number of songs.
Oh, yes. So you just do a single cut.
Yeah, I just concentrate on what I need for each show. And it's been working out. I mean, I must thank you, because you've inspired me to digitize. And the only other reason I ever did it was to make CDs for myself to listen to in the car on the way to work.
Right. And these would be mixtapes as well, I guess.
Yeah, but that was always just mixed live. Like, I had my DJ set up at home with two DJ decks, so I can just mix a cassette. I still do record cassettes. Not very often, because it's extremely difficult to find high-quality blank cassettes now. And people say to me, what are you doing that for? I said, because I have a cassette deck in my car, and I can mix live. I can do a 45-minute taping, 45 minutes. So digitally, that takes longer. You're talking double.
You're going to be our resident expert and ambassador for vintage audio, I think.
For vinyl. Yeah.
For vinyl and also the technologies. I mean,
I'm right into the audio. I mean, a few friends and myself, we really got into high-end audio back in the 70s and
80s. Oh, yeah.
And it's not cheap, But now that I look back over 35 years, it is cheap.
Yes.
Because the money I spent, I still have the same stereo I had 35 years ago.
There you go.
It works perfectly.
Yes. So. Yeah. They were built to last. There was no built-in obsolescence. And no. A lot of them back then were hand-wired. Beautiful,
exactly.
Beautiful pieces of equipment. I know.
It's just fun. I mean, but it's like I said at the beginning, it's all about the music.
Exactly.
And even when I was 4 years old, like music was in our house. My parents were into the big band, the wartime stuff and everything.
Yes.
So it's always been in my blood, you know, ever since I was a little kid.
Well, that's a perfect segue into, or a good excuse to play one of your cuts of music. You brought in, as I mentioned earlier, a little thumb drive.
Well, okay, I think this song is called Choke. There's a story behind this.
Yes.
The band is called the Stan GT, and they were from the Bainesville area. And Chris Page in the band, he's actually up in Ottawa now, and he's done some other projects like Camp Radio and a few other bands. And I heard this on Nightlines, and he announces it's from East Glengarry, Ontario. And at the time, I was living in Rigo, and I go, wow, this is like half an hour from my house. I never heard of this band. I love their sound.
That's so cool.
So I had that on tape. I taped it on a cassette that night. It took me, I can't tell you how long, well, until about 2 years ago, until I found this song, and it's on a CD, I brought it in. It's a Canadian compilation of, like, Canadian youth gone bad.
On Guard for Thee.
On Guard for Thee. And this is a song they only ever put on this CD. And I bought all
really?
Their albums. I really? Bought a whole bunch of their 7-inch 45s. I could never find this song.
It's not on any of their vinyl?
No, it's one of those songs that they did for the comp. So here it is.
This is a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants radio sometimes, but doing it live, well, you must have an appreciation for it. You're sitting in your basement with your studio there, and you're putting your cuts together.
Well, actually, I don't have the live stress, because if I make a mistake, I
you just stop and go over again, yeah. Well,
but I was just telling John while the song was playing, I was up in Ottawa, I guess it was about 4 years ago, at one of the record shows, St. Anthony's Hall, and Dave, the guy from Birdman Sound on Bank Street, which, by the way, I'll give him a little plug here. If you're looking for your alternative underground sounds, go to Birdman Sound.
Yes, for sure.
He's the best store in Ottawa for that kind of music.
On Bank Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there many times. Yeah. I've actually, but it's not just alternative stuff. He's got some mainstream. I bought a Beatle album there that I just is one of my.
Yeah, he's organized too. I love record stores that are organized. I can't stand going in and the stuff's all over the place. And you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
But he knew I was looking for the Stan GT for almost everything that they put out. And he yells at me from across the room, "I've got Apocalypse Cow!" That's one of their albums I've been looking for a while. So, and, you know, maybe I'll be playing some stuff from that.
Apocalypse Cow.
Oh, it's a hilarious cover.
That's a great title. That's a great name for an album.
We have no video to go with this because I could show you these covers.
Yeah. These are all, like, I just love the look of it. You know, that's one of the things that we lost when CDs took over was the artwork, right?
Nothing beats the 12-inch square format for artwork. I mean,
there are special frames that Michaels, for example, sells that is exactly the size of an album, so you can frame some of these suckers.
I keep some on the wall, too. I've got, a couple of strips of this plastic flashing that fits. I just mounted them in my music room.
Oh, yeah, nice,
Alternatively change out these covers. It's artwork.
Yes.
I mean, it absolutely is.
And it's really great to surround yourself with that when you're putting together radio programs featuring that kind of music.
Yeah, I try to keep the covers in front of me when I'm doing the announcing bits. And, you know, then I can refer to it and it actually gives you a little bit of impetus, you know, to talk about the cover. Because like you say, that is the big difference. I mean, CDs, as far as I'm concerned, they're nasty little things. They're pretty good as drink coasters, except the hole in the middle, you know, makes it leak. But I don't think too much as CDs.
Yeah.
And especially when you digitize music and like I put it on a visualization, an accurate one for all the frequencies, and you can just see the compression.
Yes.
It's just nuts.
Yeah.
What was it you were telling me, what Neil Young said once? It's like looking through a screen door at nature. You can see the nature, but a little
bit. It's been sort of pixelated and broken into little wee chunks, little frames.
And one thing I'm pretty impressed with is how many young people I'm seeing these days picking up vinyl.
More and more.
At garage sales or at record shows, I see more and more people, late teens, early 20s, and I'm really, really happy about that. Because that'll help keep it going, you know. Such a warm sound.
Yes.
And dynamic range. It's all about dynamic range.
Exactly.
The difference between the quietest and the loudest passage.
That's right.
And we spent years trying to save up to buy stereos capable of doing this, and all of a sudden it's all thrown out the window.
That's right. That's right. It's so ironic. I mean, CDs are convenient, but that was about all they had going for them when they first came out.
Well, I was just going to say that. That's the one thing I love about them. They are convenient.
Yes. Yeah.
But if I may recount one little quick story.
Go
when
for
CDs
it.
CDs first came out, or I first bought a CD player, I wanted to rebuy a lot of my old albums. Because, man, it must sound good. It must sound better on CD.
Yes.
And one album in particular, the first Emerson, Lake & Palmer record, there's a long song with a very quiet passage in the middle. And I said, man, I gotta hear what this sounds like, because there's always a click pop, you know, when you're playing it. Well, I put the CD on, and it was the first issue of that album on CD. It's just horrible. The first thing you hear is tape hiss. All you hear is the tape hiss at the quiet bits, because then they did not remaster anything.
No, that's right.
Today, it's much better.
Yeah.
To remaster for CD.
Yeah, they go back to the original tapes, and they do...
Yeah.
They prepare it for digital, but I know it's true.
Frank Zappa was one of the first guys that really, really put the time into remastering the analog tapes so they would sound good on CDs. And if you pick up anything out of his catalog on Rykodisc, I mean, they sound fantastic.
Yes.
And that's coming from a vinyl guy. CDs sound good.
Rob, we're quickly running out of time here. What would we like to go out on, Rob, just from...
I don't know if we want to keep in playing something that people have never heard, but perhaps they'd like, put on Crimson Star.
Crimson Star.
I know it's one of Lois's favorite tunes. I picked up, this is off a CD, a compilation CD called Another Continental Flight, and I went to a show in Hudson at the Chateau de Lac to see the Crazy Rhythm Daddies.
Oh yeah.
And they're on this, but they were selling these things for $5. I said, oh, okay, I'll take one. And I knew one of the other songs, one of my fave surf bands, the Bomboras, is on here. But then this song comes out and I play it. This sounds like something like Peter and Gordon from the mid-60s, but it's fairly modern, brilliantly produced, and I think it's a great tune. Crimson Star by The Minstrels.
Shining waters at my feet, reflecting the spring night. Crimson star I long to be in the womb of your flashing satellite. Shimmering distant light, take me in your flight. I yearn to plunge inside your slow hypnotic time. Your flame is far beyond, blazing through the night, reaching the riverbed for my song of delight. Spinning round, you stare at me, magnetic distance field. Flying ships I'll take to sea. It's time to break the longing of the near. Sing me one more song, I'm going away. When will I return? I wonder every day. Get honey and wine to fill my lonely tongue. This spell won't soon wear off, my crimson star awaits.
The Minstrels with Crimson Star.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah, nice little ditty there. It has a real 60s sound to it, but it's fairly modern. Well, it's mid-90s.
Okay. A style, anyway, harking back to the 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Well, while we were off mic there earlier, Rob, we were just going over how you ended up here in the studio during Van Cleek Coulee.
Yeah, it was in July, I think.
Yeah.
It was all serendipity. I mean, Lois and I were across the street at the lawyer's office tuning up the wills, and we came out and said, hey, let's go and eat at the Windsor, because we'd heard that they had steak night. So, okay, fine. So it was a Monday night. So we go into the Windsor and, oh, there's no food here.
No.
What do you mean, no food? Well, we have wing night on Wednesday and steak night on Friday. So, okay, well, maybe we'll come back for wing night. So we came back on the Wednesday and Lauren was sitting there, the host of Box Talk.
Yes, the Madame, Lauren Moyer.
Yeah, and she had her computer at the bar and she was editing her show. And I stood beside her and I said, hey, wow, that's pretty cool. What are you doing there? You got an audio program. Oh, I have a radio show. I said, oh, on what radio station? She says, Van Cleek FM. I said, never heard of it. I didn't even know. And she says, yeah, I'll introduce you to Jean. We'll go over after. And that's how it happened.
You guys walked in the door with Wanda Kalusny.
Montreal Chamber Orchestra.
Yes, that was so cool. So while Sean was on the air, I think we went into our little meeting room next to the studio here, next to the reception area, and we had a little chat. And you mentioned that you'd be interested in putting together a disc show from your extensive vinyl collection.
Little hobby.
Yeah.
So it's coming true.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I just hope that I'll be able to keep it interesting and keep the quality up.
Oh, I have no doubt.
I mean, obviously, it's a finite thing. I mean, I don't have the CBC record library behind me.
No.
But what I do have, well, you know, we'll just go through it. I'm sure we're good for a year.
At least, for sure.
We'll see.
This is really exciting. We're really glad to have you on board, Rob.
Well, I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah, and I just want to remind listeners, it's going to be on the air after Van Cleek Coulee on Wednesdays, starting at 10 o'clock, and it's an hour-long program. And the first one is going to be next Wednesday, October the 7th. So mark it in your calendars.
Mm. Your birthday?
It's his...
Oh, no.
16th birthday?
Yeah, I'm 16 next Wednesday.
The big 1-6.
Yeah, the big 1-6 next Wednesday. Don't be alarmed, kiddies. I mean, you know, the first set of every show is a pretty hard rocket little set. And I guess, in a way, I didn't think of it this way, but like I said to Louise a couple of weeks ago at Blues Night, we were at Blues Night at the Granary, I said, maybe this will kind of suck in the younger audience a bit, and then if they stick around, maybe they'll hear some other music that they might like.
The old bait and switch routine.
Yeah. But it flips around, believe me. There's one common thread, and that's I like every song that I play.
That's what ties it all together.
That's all I can tell you.
Well, we're really excited to have you and your record collection on the air with us at Banklink FM, Rob. And we're really looking forward to the programs that you're going to be compiling for us. You are clearly enthusiastic about the music, and that's going to come through on these programs. So I really invite the listeners to tune in every Wednesday at 10 o'clock for Sightlines, inspired by Nightlines from David Wisdom and Company, that the good old Mother Corp. From 1987 to 1997, 98 or so, is that about?
Yeah, it was 87 and 97 with David at the helm. It was around a bit before that with
Ben Murgie and company.
Ralph Ben Murgie and Ron Robinson did it out of Winnipeg and moved to Vancouver in 87.
Yeah, for Wisdom.
But I only stumbled upon it in 1991, just late at night spinning the dial. So hopefully somebody will spin the dial and stumble on me.
Exactly, exactly. You're carrying on a wonderful tradition of somebody bringing forward the music they love on a radio program and making it available to other people. And that's a really fine tradition, and I appreciate you doing that.
It's the passion of the music.
Yeah. So we're going to go out on one of your cuts here that you brought in, Rob. This is Pacifica, and it's a good piece of surf music.